Hello and welcome to episode 316 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb, your host, and I'm so glad you're here today. Every Monday through Friday, I bring you two or three chapters of the Bible and a short devotional or commentary in about 10 minutes. We're reading through the Bible on three tracks. Track one is reading through the Old Testament, track two is reading through the New Testament, and the third, the track we're on today, is reading through the books of poetry and wisdom. Each day alternates to one of those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Today, since we are on track three, we're in the book of Job. We'll read chapter 14, where Job continues his response after Zophar's remarks, and then in chapter 15, Eliphaz chimes in again. Our Bible translation this week is the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Let's begin. Job chapter 14. Man born of woman is short of days and full of trouble. He blossoms like a flower, then withers. He flees like a shadow and does not last. Do you really take notice of one like this? Will you bring me into judgment against you? Who can produce something pure from what is impure? No one. Since man's days are determined and the number of his months depends on you, and since you have set limits he cannot pass, look away from him and let him rest, so that he can enjoy his day like a hired hand. There is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its shoots will not die. If its roots grow old in the ground, and its stump starts to die in the soil, the smell of water makes it thrive and produce twigs like a sapling. But a man dies and fades away. He breathes his last. Where is he? As water disappears from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dry, so man lies down, never to rise again. They will not wake up until the heavens are no more. They will not stir from their sleep. If only you would hide me in Sheol and conceal me until your anger passes. If only you would appoint a time for me and then remember me. When a man dies, will he come back to life? If so, I would wait all the days of my struggle until my relief comes. You would call and I would answer you. You would long for the work of your hands. For then you would count my steps, but would not take note of my sin. My rebellion would be sealed up in a bag, and you would cover over my iniquity. But as a mountain collapses and crumbles, and a rock is dislodged from its place, as water wears away stones and torrents wash away the soil from the land, so you destroy a man's hope. You completely overpower him, and he passes on. You change his appearance and send him away. If his sons receive honor, he does not know it. If they become insignificant, he is unaware of it. He feels only the pain of his own body and mourns only for himself. Job chapter 15. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, "Does a wise man answer with empty counsel or fill himself with a hot east wind? Should he argue with useless talk or with words that serve no good purpose? But you even undermine the fear of God and hinder meditation before him. Your iniquity teaches you what to say, and you choose the language of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, not I. Your own lips testify against you. Were you the first person ever born, or were you brought forth before the hills? Do you listen in on the counsel of God, or have a monopoly on wisdom? What do you know that we don't? What do you understand that is not clear to us? Both the gray-haired and the elderly are with us, men older than your father. Are God's consolations not enough for you, even the words that deal gently with you? Why has your heart misled you, and why do your eyes flash as you turn your anger against God and allow such words to leave your mouth? What is man that he should be pure, or one born of woman that he should be righteous? If God puts no trust in his holy ones, and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less one who is revolting and corrupt, who drinks injustice like water? Listen to me, and I will inform you. I will describe what I have seen, what was declared by wise men and not suppressed by their ancestors. The land was given to them alone when no foreigner passed among them. A wicked man writhes in pain all his days. Only a few years are reserved for the ruthless. Dreadful sounds fill his ears. When he is at peace, a robber attacks him. He doesn't believe he will return from darkness. He is destined for the sword. He wanders about for food, saying, "Where is it?" He knows the days of darkness is at hand. Trouble and distress terrify him, overwhelming him like a king prepared for battle. For he has stretched out his hand against God and has arrogantly opposed the Almighty. He rushes headlong at him with his thick, studded shields. Though his face is covered with fat and his waistline bulges with it, he will dwell in ruined cities, in abandoned houses destined to become piles of rubble. He will no longer be rich. His wealth will not endure. His possessions will not increase in the land. He will not escape from the darkness. Flames will wither his shoots. And by the breath of God's mouth, he will depart. Let him not put trust in worthless things, being led astray, for what he gets in exchange will prove worthless. It will be accomplished before his time, and his branch will not flourish. He will be like a vine that drops its unripe grapes, and like an olive tree that sheds its blossoms. For the company of the godless will have no children, and fire will consume the tents of those who offer bribes. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. Their womb prepares deception. May God pour out His blessings on the reading of His Word. In chapter 15, Job talks about the frailty of man, the short time that he is here on earth, and the fact that once he is gone, he'll not return. He ends with the idea that once we're gone, we'll not even know what becomes of our children. As a parent and grandfather, I pray for and am concerned for my kids and their kids. But the fact is, their destiny is beyond my control. Just as I had to decide whether or not I'd follow Christ, they must make their own decisions. I do my best to be a good example for them, to lay a godly foundation for them to build on, but their relationship with God, or lack of it, is between them and God. I must put them in God's hands and trust them to His love. Job was right. We live in a fallen, dying world where the cares and struggles of life never end. We seem to go from one difficulty to another. Life is not easy. I, for one, am content with the few days we have on earth, and I look forward, like Job, to answering God's call when He calls me home. Not that I'm in a hurry, but I won't go kicking and screaming. I look forward to being in His loving embrace. In chapter 15, Eliphaz is as hard on Job as he was in his first go-around. Again, he accuses Job of empty talk, iniquity, lying. He continues by saying that Job is arrogant and self-centered and deluded, and he tells Job that his future is indeed going to be grim. Now, I suppose that Eliphaz's motivation for this attack is to cause Job to turn away from his errant ways. But since Job is not the person that he is accused of being, Eliphaz's words are nothing more than hurtful and foolish. Oh, that we are not ever in Eliphaz's shoes when our friends need us. Let us prayerfully consider our words and ask God to help us see them as He sees them. Then we will speak words of love and salvation. I would love to hear your comments. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 316.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at _SteveWeb_#LifespringMedia. Don't forget to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app. I'll see you tomorrow when we're back in the book of 1 Samuel. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.